674. 674 will be a song of invitation.
Mark that song and then take your Bibles and open to Luke chapter
5. Luke chapter 5. This evening I want us to step back for just a few minutes into a scene from the life of Jesus, from the life of the Apostle Peter. Peter was one of what we might say the leading apostles. He was a man of great faith. But if we know anything at all about the Apostle Peter, we know that he was a work in progress. By the time we get to Luke chapter 5, Peter has already met Jesus. In fact, by this time, Jesus had already healed Peter's mother-in-law. But we know, too, that Peter was still a commercial fisherman. We know he wasn't quite all the way in when it came to following Jesus. In a way, he was almost a casual observer. But in Luke chapter 5, we find that Peter comes to a turning point. In a sense, he's on this spiritual journey. And along this path, what happens in Luke chapter 5 is very important. And what happens in Luke chapter 5 is tied to Peter's work as a fisherman. Now, when most of us think about fishing, we might think about a rod and a reel. Several here this evening probably even enjoy fishing. They love to go fishing. Maybe we think about fishing as something we want to do. Maybe we enjoy eating the fish that we catch. But most of the time when we go fishing today, we go fishing for fun. But we need to realize that Peter's not really fishing for fun. For Peter, this wasn't something he did on the weekend. This wasn't something he did to relax. In fact, if Peter wanted to relax, if Peter wanted to do something on the weekend, he would probably do anything besides go fishing. But for Peter, fishing was a way of life. Fishing was his job. He was a commercial fisherman. Our text for this evening is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And what we see here is Peter transitioning from a casual observer to more of a follower of Jesus Christ. We have a snapshot here of some growth in Peter's faith. And our goal for the next few minutes will be to apply the Word of God to our own lives today. That ought to always be our goal anytime we open the Scriptures. But as we grow in our faith, what does this passage mean for us? As we look at our text for this evening, one of the first very practical examples we find here is that Peter's complete obedience to the Word of God. We find him being obedient. Let's look together at verses 1 through 5. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's Word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." Just in these first five verses, we find at least three requests that Jesus made of Peter. And all three times, Peter obeys. He obeys even though he has every reason to not obey. To put it in context, we have these fishermen who had gotten out of their boats. They were washing their nets at the end of a long night of very hard work. These commercial fishermen, they'd been out there all night fishing, all night working, and caught absolutely nothing. And this isn't because of a lack of effort. These were skilled men who knew very well what they were doing. These men had practically grown up on this lake. We know from other passages that this was a family business. Their father was in on this. And so most likely they have several generations of experience. They know where to go. They know what to do. They know all the tricks. They have all the tools. But on this night, they completely strike out. They catch nothing. So we can imagine then, they were tired. Probably a little bit frustrated, maybe a little bit disappointed. Over and over again that night, they had put their nets out and pulled them back in all night long. And every time, they caught nothing. And so here they are in the morning, and they're cleaning their nets. I'm assuming they're picking out some of the seaweed, maybe making some repairs to some tears in the nets here and there. And they're getting everything cleaned up and put away so they can go back out later on that following night after they get some rest. And right as they're getting these things wrapped up, right as they're finishing these repairs and these cleanings up, Jesus comes along and asks them to push out a little bit into the water so he can teach people from the boat. Now that's not too challenging of a task. But then we find when Jesus has finished speaking, he says something else to Peter. He says, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I don't know whether we truly understand what a challenge that must have been for Peter. Here's this commercial fisherman who's now being given fishing advice from a carpenter. But looking past that, maybe out of respect for what Jesus had just done not too long ago for his mother-in-law, Peter obeys. I love what we see in Peter's response there. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, if you say so, I'll let down the nets. What an honest response we see from Peter. And what an example for us even today. There are times when we might be challenged to do something that God has told us to do. Maybe what he's telling us to do hasn't worked for us in the past. Maybe we're tired, like Peter was in this case. Maybe we're discouraged. We might even have some doubts as to whether or not what we're being told to do will actually work at all. But we learn something from Peter here. And that is, we might not be all in. But based on what we know about the Lord, we obey. We do it even if it doesn't necessarily make sense to us. The only reason that these men had for going back out was the promise of Jesus. That if they went out and they cast their nets one more time, there would be a catch. We see that in verse 4. Jesus promises that catch. In the same way, there are times when we're right on the edge of just being too tired to do what God has asked us to do. Maybe we have too much going on to do those things, or at least we think we have too much going on to do those things that God has asked us to do. Sometimes we might just not feel like it. But we learn here from Peter. We need to do it anyway. Maybe we're too worn out to study. Maybe we're too worn out to pray. Maybe we're too exhausted to encourage another Christian. Maybe we're having a hard time dealing with a difficult family situation. Maybe we've prayed about something before and it didn't work out the way we wanted it to. Maybe we've said, I've already tried reading the Bible and that didn't work. Or whatever it might be. But then we remember what Jesus has done for us in the past. And like Peter, we give it one more shot. Like Peter, we make the effort. Like Peter, we launch out into the deep. We hear the word of God and we obey. Even though our obedience might seem to be just a little bit out of reach. Even though it might not fully make sense to us at the time. And that's what happens here. Even though they're worn out, Peter and his companions, they put out into the deeper water just like Jesus had commanded. And they let down their nets, just like Jesus had told them to do. That's what faith really is, isn't it? Obedience to the Word of God. Paul would go on to say in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Peter heard the Word of Jesus. He trusted what the Lord was telling him to do, and he obeyed. And this is part of Peter's journey. Now, certainly Jesus could have just had all of these fish jump into Peter's boat. Jesus could have buried Peter in fish, just like God covered the people with quail back in the book of Numbers. Jesus could have done that here. But instead, we see that Peter had to do something. He had to trust and obey. I don't know if y'all sing that song here. I've sung that song all my life. Trust and obey. And that obedience was a step, because as we know, over the coming years, Peter would be asked to do some much greater things. But this was a step in that process as Peter learned to trust Jesus more and more. So we see the value of obedience to the Word of God. Whether it's building an ark, or pushing a boat out to sea, or confessing Jesus and being buried with him in baptism, we must obey the Word of God. And there's something else I want us to notice in this passage, and that is this obedience and this miracle that follows causes Peter to worship. He worships Jesus in absolute awe because of what happens here. Let's look together at verses 6 through 10. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." And so they go out into this deep water. They cast their nets, and when they do this, there are so many fish, their nets begin to break. And so they call in these other boats to help, and they start filling up the boats, even to the point where both boats begin to sink. Verse 8 tells us that when Peter sees this, he falls at Jesus' knees, and he says, "Go away from me, for I'm a sinful man." Now we might think to ourselves, but as far as we know, Peter hasn't murdered anybody. He hasn't robbed someone. He hasn't assaulted anybody, not at least as far as we know. But then we realize this event helped Peter see himself for who he really was. He's face to face with the sinless Son of God. Sometimes we might think, well, we're not that bad. But then we see Jesus, and we start to understand how sinful we really are. And so what starts out as an ordinary day turns into something much greater than either a bad day or a good day fishing. This is no longer about the fish. Yes, there's a reward for obedience. And we might could pull that point out of this text. And I thought about making that one of our points this evening. Obey Jesus and good things happen. But really, this isn't about the fish. Instead, what happens here is far beyond what Peter could have ever expected. This is miraculous. Jesus here has once again gone above and beyond the laws of nature. This sort of thing doesn't happen. But it did happen. And Peter's overwhelmed, and he worships Jesus as Lord. He realizes that Jesus is more than a mere man at this point. And so he falls at Jesus' feet. I was thinking about this today, and I realized that this is probably an event where there are two miracles involved. Now, the text doesn't specifically state this, but it seems to me that the first miracle would be Peter not catching a single fish all night long. I can imagine that Jesus was thinking to himself, "Now, I need to make sure the fish stay far away from Peter tonight, because I need to teach him something tomorrow morning." Maybe, maybe not. But I want to emphasize here that this is all part of the Lord's plan. Leading Peter along this journey of faith. Peter has some idea of who Jesus is going into this chapter. But this takes it to an entirely new level. Peter's seen some amazing things over the past few weeks. But now he sees Jesus as Lord, even over fishing. And Peter knows fishing. Fishing is Peter's territory. And so Peter falls down in awe. We think about what happened when Isaiah saw Jesus back in Isaiah chapter 6. As Isaiah goes into the temple, he sees this vision of God on his throne. Isaiah responds the way that Peter responds here. He says, "Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The same thing happens to John. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, as John sees the Lord, he falls on his face in worship. And so there's a progression from a simple trusting faith and obedience to a much deeper understanding of Jesus as Lord. And that leads to worship. I didn't realize it till I was studying for this lesson today, but as far as I can tell, Peter is the first person in the New Testament to address Jesus as Lord. And he's the only apostle to fall at Jesus' feet and worship during his life on earth. And he's the only individual anywhere in the Bible to do both. Peter serves as an example in terms of this progression of faith, this journey. He hears the word, he obeys, and he's one of the first to actually come to a realization of who Jesus is. Really is. That leads us to the last couple of verses of this passage. So we find Peter, James, and John all making a leap into what we might refer to as total commitment. They go from moving a boat around to full-fledged disciples of Jesus Christ. As I see it, it's no coincidence that these three men become three of Jesus' closest friends. So often as we read through the gospel accounts, we read about Peter, James, and John going with Jesus to places where the other apostles didn't go. They went into the house of Jairus where his daughter was raised. They went onto the mountain to see the transfiguration. They went even deeper into the garden with Jesus the night that he was betrayed. And it all starts right here in Luke chapter 5. In this boat, Peter, James, and John, Jesus takes what they're good at, fishing, and he builds on that skill to bring them on board, so to speak, into God's kingdom. "Don't be afraid," Jesus says. "From now on, you will be catching people." And at this point, these three men, they bring their boats to land. They leave everything, and they follow Jesus. Jesus' mission becomes their mission. These men, they're not religious scholars. They're not trained in public speaking. They probably can't even read and write at this point. They're not particularly righteous. They're not particularly successful. They're fishermen. But God takes them where they are. He gives them opportunities for growth. And these men step up to the challenge. In the same way, God is looking for people today who will listen. He's not looking for people who think they're perfect. Remember, Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's looking for men and women who know they're lost in sin, but are willing to trust in him and obey. Do we need to quit secular work like they did? No. We have examples of many people, including the Apostle Paul, who continued to work while they were following Jesus. But the key is these men put Jesus first. They did whatever had to be done. Someone pointed out that the catch of the day here was not the fish, but it was Peter. The miracle of the fish, in many ways, was an illustration of what Jesus wanted to do with Peter's life. Jesus wanted Peter to bring people just like he brought in so many fish that day. And guess what? Peter did. From that day on, Peter leaves what was familiar. He steps out in faith, knowing that following Jesus would be worth it in the end. And we do the same thing today, or we ought to do the same thing today, by trusting God with our future. Trusting God with everything. For us, trusting God with everything means using our skills and using our abilities, using our careers even, in ways to honor God. Trusting God with everything means looking around us for opportunities to jump in and serve, looking for opportunities to teach, opening our homes, getting involved in the lives of others. I've read that just about any kind of church activity turns into an outreach effort when just one person brings a friend. Once that friend shows up, then we're all fishers of men. We all help out with the fishing. Fishing for people ought to be our mission as a congregation. It's the reason why we're here. And if we don't understand this, we need to go back to this passage in Luke chapter 5. And we need to do what Jesus told Peter to do. Put out in the deep water. We need to let our nets down for a catch. Yes, it might be uncomfortable. We might be tired. We might have doubts that what we're trying to do will work. But like Peter, our job is to trust and obey. Talk to someone about the Lord and see what happens. We think about our New Testaments and the people we read about in the pages of the Bible. God can take sellers of fabric and turn them into hospitable Christians like Lydia. God can take promising young men and turn them into righteous political leaders like he did with Daniel. God can take highly educated college professors and turn them into skilled missionaries like he did with Paul. God can take medical doctors and turn them into great assets in his kingdom like Luke. God can take farmers and make them spreaders of the truth like he did with Amos. God can take us where we are. And he can do some amazing things if we're willing. If we're willing to trust and obey. He can take us on a journey of faith, turning us into fishers of people, just like he did with that commercial fisherman, Peter. We can spend the rest of our lives doing nothing but rowing and pulling in fish and washing nets and repeating that process day after day. Or we, in faith, can jump in with Peter and commit our lives to doing something much greater. As we close tonight, I want to point out that this journey of faith, it's not always smooth. It's not always easy. It's not always a straight line between two points. There are ups and downs along the way. Over the next 3 years, Peter would grow and Peter would mature. But then Jesus is betrayed, and Peter denies even knowing Jesus 3 times. And then Jesus is crucified. Peter's at a low point now in his life. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, Jesus has been crucified. He's back from the dead, and yet there's still some sense of confusion. There's a little bit of shock. Peter rounds up some of the other apostles to go fishing. Maybe it's a way for them to try to clear their heads. Maybe a way to try to make sense out of everything that's just happened over the last few days. A way to try to sort things out. And instead of asking Jesus to go away this time, we find that Peter has grown over that past 3.5 years. We find that something quite different takes place. So I want us to look at John chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And I want us to pay attention to the similarities between these two accounts. But also keep an eye out for how it might be a little bit different. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. We're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them. You don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. What a journey this had been for Peter. Just a few weeks after this, Peter would go on to preach the first gospel sermon to thousands of people, telling them to repent and be immersed for the forgiveness of their sins. Even today, still today, Jesus is looking for men and women with Peter's faith, for those who are willing to obey. He's looking for those who are willing to do whatever it takes. The Bible tells us that Jesus died for our sins. To accept this offer of salvation, we must turn away from our sins. We call that repentance. We must confess that we believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and we must allow ourselves to be immersed in water to have our sins washed away. Is that your need this evening? If so, we hope that you'll come tonight. We hope that you'll let us assist you in your obedience. Or maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe you need the prayers of the church on your behalf. Prayers for forgiveness, prayers for encouragement. If that's your need, we hope you'll come. Let us pray for you. Let the Lord forgive you. Whatever your need may be, if you're here and subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you come? Together we stand and sing. I have decided.